Whoa.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. Can I say that on radio?
I don't know.
The yak says what? The yak burger has a long mustache. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah.
And who do we got here? We have MWD, Michael W. Dean.
Yo.
Our fearless leader-ish type person. And we have the little punk juvenile delinquent, Nick Hazelton.
I think we're supposed to address him as Lord High Black Emperor, Hail Black Emperor Yak Man.
Yeah, Hail Bop Yak.
What are we calling you? What do you want to be called, Nick?
Yeah, what is it that we're not calling you?
You're calling me the dear sweet yak emperor.
That ain't gonna happen. You were getting so cocky, man. When you first got on The Fiends, when you were like 9, I think it was, you were like,
I'm scared of radio. I can't talk. My voice hasn't changed and I'm very shy.
And now you're like, I'm gonna kick Michael Dean off this show because he's getting in my way and doesn't praise me enough. You're doing good, Nick. I like it. It's good to see that kind of growth in a young man.
Yeah, you're awful cucky now.
Cucky. No. So what is the age of consent for yaks in Oregon?
Oh, for
you're researching this.
The age of consent for yaks, I think that it's like 2. That's when they officially become adults.
When do you become an adult? When do you I think you already are, but when do you turn 18?
In August.
Don't say the exact date. You don't want to say it. But girls, get ready. He's going to be 18 this August. I've been matchmaking all the fiends. That means I get 10% of their nookie because I'm acting as their agent.
Oh, for God's sakes. Yeah, Nick's line is going to be like, hey, I'll take you to the drive-in movie on Yak Back. You know what drive-in movies are, don't you, Nick?
Yeah, actually, we have one.
The last one is probably in his town.
Yeah, the last one.
Yeah, in Methton, Oregon. That's where he lives.
Yeah. I actually live in Full of Meth.
Full of Meth? What's that?
Yeah. It's called Philomath, but we call it Full of Meth.
Philomath. It's spelled Philomath. Mm. Isn't a philomath someone who... What is a philomath?
It's philosophy and math student, I think.
Man, totally that's square. Sure. That's square. It sounds like a Molyneux fan I'd want to punch.
Now, Nick,
but it would violate the NAP because I'd issue a libertarian exemption indulgence.
A fatwa. Oh,
go ahead. A fatwad. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Nick, you're recently celebrating your first time in your life doing something.
What?
Ever. I bought my first vehicle.
Done anything? Oh. Oh, is it the high quality that your mobile home is in?
It's a little bit more classy than the mobile home. I got a 1993 Jeep Cherokee, and it actually runs, and it's really
fun. The slow speed chase was with OJ? Didn't he have one of those?
That's a Bronco.
Okay, cool. I didn't own a vehicle until I was 27, and my band wouldn't let me drive it until I was 30.
Well, Nick's vehicle is 5 years older than he is.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
My
van I bought when I was 27 was like 8 years older than me. It was one of those like Ford step trucks that like it didn't take unleaded gas. We had to buy lead additive to put in it. Boy, that sounds wrong, and I don't think you can get away with that anymore. But yeah,
you can in Flint, Michigan.
Oh, I'm sure. You just put drinking water in the gas tank and it runs fine.
Yeah. So if ISIS poisons the water supply. The average American wants to go to war and drop bombs all over the place. Government does it. Meh.
Well, weren't you talking today about the Revolutionary War and how literally they were shooting cops because the British soldiers were acting as police?
Yes, I was. And you should have seen the look on the guy's face when I said that, too.
Yeah.
He's like, no, not my foundling fathers.
If it weren't for the foundling fathers, you'd all be speaking English.
No, you'd all be speaking red coat.
Well, the original group of founding fathers had British accents because American English hadn't evolved yet. What had to happen was the English British accent had to bake in sun and whiskey in the South to become the American accent. And then the Northerners had to like strip all the fun out of it and make it boring. You know, that's where American accent came from.
Darn Yankees.
What do you think of Barack Obama, Nick?
I think he's a liar. He's a socialist and his feet sink.
Lou, what do you think of Bernie Sanders?
I think that if he's covered by the BIPCAT.org license, BIPCAT no government license, that he'll have to run away from himself because he's a liar, a socialist, and he smells like Tinkle.
Yeah, he does. You know, there's a new use for the BIPCAT license. It's I thought of this while I was falling asleep for my nap this afternoon. You can get out of a homeowners association agreement by filing a BIPCAT no covenant license. And then I went to sleep and I had a dream that Dave Brocky from GWAR was still alive, and I was hanging out at Soundcheck at their show like yesterday. They're not playing. They're gone. He's dead. But they were playing at the War Field in San Francisco, and they changed the sign out front to say the GWAR Field. And Dave Brocky was trying to borrow my chapstick. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know where your mouth has been. And he said, yeah, well, we've shared women, so we can share chapstick. And I was like, okay.
I get. He does have a point there.
He did. And he and it was all true. And he was rising from the grave to haunt me and tell me about it. Yep. That's the Freedom Fiends. That's the kind of way we roll. So there's this show called Mad Dogs on Amazon. It's an Amazon original. I just watched the last episode of the first season. 10 episodes in one sitting. Yep, that's how I roll. Mad Dogs, I highly recommend it. It's produced, it's the executive producer is the guy who created The Shield. But it's nothing like The Shield. It's kind of more like The Shield meets... it's kind of like Entourage for adults is the way I could describe it. And there's a lot of CIA dealing cocaine in South American third world countries, Central America. And it's an amazing, amazing show. Everyone should go watch Mad Dogs. And you said there's another good show, Lou. It's called, what is it? Godspeed, You Black Yak Emperor?
The Man in the High Castle.
I haven't watched it yet because the premise sounds horrifying. It's basically like Germany and Japan won World War II, and now like America is subjects of the Nazis and the Emperor, right? Or something.
Yeah, basically. It's a darn good show. I mean, it's very interesting, the concept behind it, and I think they really nail a lot of stuff in there. And it's libertarian in regards to some of the things that they hit on is something that we would understand, us libertarians. So when I say we, I don't just mean me and the French Canadian mouse in my pocket.
Yeah.
But there's some really, really wild stuff in there. And can I do a spoiler alert?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the main characters is an American SS officer. So after the Germans had taken over the eastern part of the U.S. Well, basically everything up to the Rocky Mountains. So anyway, they started bringing in Americans to be SS officers and to police the other Americans. So basically trustees, I guess, would be a way of putting it. Well, anyway, this high-ranking American SS officer, he has a son who has some sort of disease. So he's not the physically fit and able master race Aryan type. So he takes him to the doctor, and the doctor says, well, you know what, you know, out of courtesy, we're not gonna just have him sent off to be put down, you know, because of what you've done for the Reich and everything. We're gonna let you take care of this. And he hands him a hypodermic needle with a poison in it to kill his own son.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's heavy, and that's a lot of spoilers, so let's end it at that.
And maybe he does. Maybe he
doesn't. I got a spoiler alert for Mad Dogs. There is a murderous cat in there who's finally killed with a bow and arrow, but no cats are harmed in the making of this show because the murderous cat is actually a dwarf with a cat head, furry head on, who goes around killing people and torturing them. A dog is killed in this by a CIA guy, but it's a dog you kind of want someone to slit the throat of anyway. I mean, I hate the idea of that, but it's a Chihuahua that's barking through like two episodes.
Gotta go.
So Dave Painter writes, Dave Painter just wrote me and suggested, this is a really good suggestion. He said that there should be an Uber-like app for arbitration to decentralize it. I really like that idea. You know, basically like, you know, your neighbor won't stop having loud parties, or, you know, your friend owes you money and won't pay you. So instead of going to the police, you'd go on Uber, and I'm assuming you would find like a local arbitrator that has a high trust rating, you know, that'll do it for a certain amount of money, and then somehow, you know, they get the other party involved, and then you arbitrate and do what the thing agrees. It could basically replace most of what government does right there. You know, I mean, think about that. Like, think about if you had that, and you had, you know, there's several people working on different policing apps where instead of calling the police, they call predefined numbers of neighbors who can fight fires or fight, you know, home invasions with you. And then you had something like Uber. I mean, basically, you've replaced most of what government does or tries to regulate at this point. And then you could do land deed registrations on the blockchain. At this point, governments just become coercive entities who are really like dinosaurs thrashing in the tar pits as they go extinct, saying, "You need me, glug 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 glug."
So you're saying that governments still haven't changed them?
Yeah.
Because they've always been the useless dinosaur threshing in the tar pit, claiming how important that they are.
We asked Cody Wilson Cody Wilson is best known for the printable gun, and that's a great thing, and it really did a lot. I know him for something he said on The Fiends in passing that I think is really important. I said to him, you know, what do you think the future of governments is? And he said, I think they're going to become less and less and less, you know, paid attention to, but occasionally go after individuals really, 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 really hard to try to justify their existence. And it's really true. And Nima Vedati, one of the founding fiends, said that, you know, he thought that in 5 years, his hope was that in 5 years, government was going to be like MySpace. Still has 300,000, you know, 300 million users, but no one's logged in 5 years. And, you know, Dave Painter said that Uber is unstoppable. I don't believe that. I think Uber-like things are unstoppable, but I think Uber is going to go the way of the wayside because people are making Uber-like apps that have better pricing. I think the market is going to kill Uber, the market it created.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
We are a teaching hospital, and Lou and I were working on his audio during the break. He sent me a picture of his wonderful studio. It looks really nice, but there was a little bit of like motor sound, like a fan sound coming through the mic. So I basically said, "Lou, go put another towel under that mic stand," and he did. It just killed it. And he's doing this so right, man. He has a separate computer running Fiend Phone connecting us than the one he's using for show notes. He has what looks like a black and yellow anarchist flag. That's important. Got to have your flags. He's got his show clock up. I mean, really, all you need is like, you know, an American eagle and a cross, and you're like one of those Christian televangelist shows. Like, really, it has unlimited money, it looks like.
Well, don't forget that I have the Ion Road Rocker Bluetooth speaker.
I don't know what that is.
Ben has one.
Why? Oh, for like doing public. You're not going through that while you're live, are you?
No. Okay. No, I just have a tendency to run my different MP3 players through it, or if I'm watching a program on the laptop, because the laptop speakers just don't really cut the mustard, I'll wire on into it with one of those little wire thingies. So it has a very good sound. I really like it. Ben used it at the first Liberty Fest when he was
the first Fiend Fest. We call that Fiend Fest.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah, Ben was replaying the broadcast of the radio show from that day, and he had it hooked into that. I'm like, my God, that thing's awesome. So yeah. When I started buying gear, I got a hold of Ben and I said, hey, I need to know what that doohickey thingamabop you had was. And he says, oh, you mean the Ion Road Rocker wireless speaker? And I'm like, yeah, how'd you know what I was talking about? So thanks, Ben.
Yeah. And I'm uploading this picture to the Twitter, So go to Freedom Fiends Twitter account and look for the hashtag America Akbar. What does that mean?
America Akbar.
Yeah. It's when politicians say, thank God I got the nomination. Yeah.
God bless America.
No, but check your email, because I'm actually, and you check your email and everyone else check the Twitters. I'm recommending that Lou buy some prayer rugs, and not so he can face Audio Mecca, which is my house, but so he can, and please, everyone go on Facebook and like and check out the page that Jim Jesus started, the parody of what a audio Nazi I am, and the page is called MWD Audio Bad Audio Removal Service. MWD Bad Audio Removal Service. It's a takeoff on Hans Hermann Hoppe, bad removal. He thinks that basically you'd have to kill, you know, socialists in a libertarian paradise, and people make fun of him for that. He calls it removal. And so since I'm such a stickler for audio to the point where I will grind a live radio show to a screaming halt to give audio advice, because everybody should hear it, that even though, you know, Lou sounds pretty good, he could sound better, and we're making him better. So he needs to go buy some of these prayer rugs, these little, like, 3x5 oriental rugs made in China, you know, not handmade in China, mass-produced. They're, like, $30 that look like, you know, $5,000 Persian rugs that my mother used to sell in her store, Oriental Bazaar by Virginia. And you just hang a couple of these on the wall. They don't even have to cover the whole space. Basically, if you put one on either side of your show clock there, and they look really good. Did you see the pictures I sent of that article?
Yeah, yeah. And there's something about the article. There's a lot of neat pictures in there, but I don't see my studio.
Well, your studio's not. I wrote this article 3 years ago. In the upcoming, if I ever did a repeat of this, I would probably use yours in the before picture. You know, the one that in this picture is my room with nothing in it that looks like I've just been evicted, but is actually when I moved in before I put, yeah.
This article is real interesting, but I don't see my name in it.
Well, you will see your name in it, because I'm calling you out and saying you need to, basically, all you need to do is put a couple in front of you and then a couple behind you on the parallel wall behind you. You know, I overdid it in this article, because I had rugs on the floor back then, and I don't now. Because of my allergies, we have bare rugs now. We took everything out of the house, and I don't sound echoey. Do I sound like I'm in an echo chamber?
Not too bad. How do the bears feel about the rugs?
I mean, we are a libertarian echo chamber, but we have good audio that doesn't echo. So you don't really need to cover. You don't need to be in, like, a big furry box of a room. You know, you can have some bare walls and bare
furries. Everything.
Yeah. So, Nick, what's the age of consent for yaks?
2.
Okay, we determined that. So, Do they ever try to get frisky before they're 2, or what happens?
I have never seen that happen before 2.
You never seen yaks mate?
I've seen it before, but are not shy? Before 2. They are pretty shy.
Yeah.
I don't see it very often.
They only do it when you're asleep.
Yeah.
Nick's car is older than he is. Nick's car can go do stuff that Nick can't do without getting carded.
There's probably girls that want Nick now that won't want him after he turns 18. Those dirty anarchist women. They're like, oh, it's legal? Forget it.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Talking about the Freedom Fiends. It sounds like a horror movie, but it's actually a thing. This is kind of interesting. How do you say this? Muslim jihad in the Middle East has its roots in the Nazis.
Islamic that sounds, jihad.
What's that?
Islamic jihad. That's the proper name.
What did I say? Islamist?
You said Muslim jihad.
Ah, thank you. You're right. And actually, at that point, and I would even argue later, like through the PLO and the hijackers in the 70s, you know, maybe up to Al-Qaeda. I think it switched after Al-Qaeda, but really probably didn't have that much to do with religion, had more to do with people being displaced, kicked out of their land by, you know, the proto-UN and the UK and the Americas to create Israel. I mean, basically, it's really weird to me that Americans love Israel so much. And I have nothing but love for a lot of Jewish people. I have nothing but despisement. Is that a word? For the state of Israel. And, you know, if you join the army, the American army now, and think you're fighting for our freedoms, you're not. You're fighting against our freedoms, and you're basically fighting for Israel. You are an extension of the Israeli army, fighting all of Israel's enemies in the Middle East. And basically, the reason Israel has enemies in the Middle East is because, and this is an unpopular thought, you get called all sorts of nasty names for saying this, but it's true. Basically a bunch of European Jews, and like I said, got nothing but love for the Jews, but a bunch of European Jews after World War II went to the Middle East and kicked a bunch of people out of their land, took their land, and called it Israel. Well, it's called Israel already, but, you know, and expanded it into the Palestinian territories. So, you know, if you wonder why people over there want to bomb Israel and by extension America for backing Israel, watch the movie Red Dawn and imagine that, you know, the Palestinians are the kids in Colorado and the Israelis are the Cubans and the Russians, because that's basically what happened. You know, if you don't understand why people, and I'm not saying terrorists are good, I'm just saying, like, there was a self-defense quotient when it began, to where people were taken from their land, thrown into camps and reservations, and then, like, over time, like, those camps and reservations got bulldozed out further and further, you know, until they put a wall around what used to be the Palestinians' land and said, keep out, and now, like, shake them down and search them and throw them up against walls whenever they're in Israel. So that's the history of it. Now, there were some escaped Nazis who got away, you know, with not going to the Nuremberg trials, not being sentenced to life in prison or death, didn't go to South America, and went to the Middle East, specifically Egypt, and wanted to keep being Nazis, wanted to keep hating Jews, so basically found these displaced Palestinian angry young men and said, let me teach you how the Nazis fought hand-to-hand combat, you know, when they were in the field and didn't have backing of weapons. Let me show you how to do guerrilla warfare. And they're called the Werewolf SS, and they were led by a guy named Otto Skorzeny. Sounds like Scorsese, but isn't Skorzeny, who in 1952, Skorzeny was sent to Egypt the following year, reported to General Gaylon, who is now working for the CIA, to act as Nugreb's military advisor. He recruited a staff made up of former SS and Weimar. How do you say that, Lou?
I can't find what you
Weimar officers to train Egyptian Wehrmacht? Army. Yes, among these were SS General Wilhelm Farnbacher, Panzer General Oskar Mutznell, head of the and Leopold Gleim, head of the Gestapo Department of Jewish Affairs in Poland, and a bunch of other former Nazis, you know, German Nazis who escaped. And, you know, he ended up training a bunch of Palestinians, one of whom was Yasser Arafat. He later provided intelligence for Mossad about ex-Nazi scientists working on the condition that Simon Wiesenthal erase his name from the list of wanted Nazi criminals. So this guy basically, like, you know, was a Nazi when it was convenient for him and when it was fun, and then, like, you know, turned all his buddies in to get off the most wanted list. This is just
so Stacey Litz.
Crazy. Stacey Litz, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it depends. There's an interesting thing last night on the show, and James Babb, I consider one of the most ethical people I know, but he said in passing, and this is the quote, and I'm not comparing him to the Nazi werewolves, but he said, I'd betray any of you, speaking of the fiends, I would betray any of you for my children. And he was basically talking about how governments and the mafia goes after the family. You know, like he said, you can take the most principled guy who's like under threat, you know, like, yeah, go ahead and shoot me in the head. I'm not turning my friends in. But then you kidnap his kid or his wife and suddenly, like, he'll do anything, you know.
Actually, I think the mafia has a policy and actually
no families.
Of not going after the families. With the story that you've been rattling off, I mean, there's so many comments that just pop into mind. Do you think that the dumb Christian rednecks down south in the backwoods and everything, those folks that love Israel, do you think they realize that there's Jews there?
I don't know, because in the 70s, right-wing people, when I was a kid, hated Jews. I mean, the typical one is Archie Bunker. He was a caricature, but, you know, most right-wingers were like that. They were like, I don't like them blacks and them Puerto Ricans and them Jews. And now, like, you can't run for president as a Republican without, like, literally kissing the feet of someone from Israel. You know, you have to.
Now, the German, what was it, Department of Jewish Affairs in Poland, you said?
Yeah.
Wasn't there, and possibly still is, a Department of Indian Affairs here in America?
Yes. Yes,
huh.
It's who keeps them down on the reservation, which is basically what the Jews did to Palestine.
Well, also don't forget that the German government put Jews in reservations over there too.
Yeah, and you know, it really, like, all of the Nazi most of the Nazi atrocities could have been avoided if America had allowed immigration. But you know, everyone was like, "No, we don't want them immigrants coming from Europe." You know,
we don't want those darn Jews. Support Israel.
Yeah. I don't really like to point it out, but Wyoming is so empty, it could probably take, like, every refugee in the world and still have, like, a square mile for every person. But I don't like to say that because I live here, and now there's, like, 20 miles for every person, so...
We're full. Go home.
We're full. Go home.
Yeah, that's motto up in Saskatchewan too.
The Free State, New Hampshire just bragged that they hit their goal, 100% of 20,000 pledged. And I made a mock-up meme of it of Free State Wyoming, which is a thing. Free State Wyoming, 0.0006 to their goal. Their motto is, Wyoming's full. Go away.
Yeah, they're trying to get 20,000 people to leave Wyoming.
That's what Nick said, wasn't it?
Now, I have a little inside baseball here, and this is kind of a joke, a little bit, maybe. I believe that there's a Free Stater from New Hampshire that is probably going to defect to Michigan.
Are they in New Hampshire?
Yes.
Then it's not Lisa. Who is it? What's the joke?
Rich Paul keeps coming to Michigan and hanging out with the MPLC folks all the time. Oh. Yeah. And he has family here. I think he grew up here, but okay. He keeps coming back to Michigan quite a bit and hanging out with MPLC folks. So, I think we're going to get them knocked down to 19,999 soon enough. So
good.
They're also
actually two less than that because DJ and I pledged 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and we're never moving there.
Yeah, but you took your names off the list.
No, we didn't. It's still
there. A couple of years ago.
But they didn't take it off. We said to take it off, but they didn't take it off. There's also people that are dead on that list by now. I mean, I think it's going to take a couple more days before they really have 20,000, what I'm saying. And congratulations to them. But
yeah. And in regards to Rich Paul, isn't it amazing that Free Staters have to come to Michigan to find real freedom people?
Wow.
Ooh, shots fired.
Well, also, Rich Paul is like one of the good guys because he was one of the, like, basically, wasn't it the FBI, I thought? Like,
yeah.
You know, was threatening
he
him.
He didn't
with, eight life terms plus cancer in prison if he didn't wear a wire into Ian's house, and he said forget you and didn't do it. and somehow got out. But yeah, he's one of the good guys. I complained about his radio presence the other day, him and Daryl Perry. I said that when both of them are on, I love the guys. I love their activism. I love their attitude. I even love Daryl Perry's top of the hour news where he's not yelling. But when those two are on, they sound like an old married couple fighting no matter what they're talking about. And I turn off Free Talk Live. And Ian said, like, well, to each his own, you know, you can't please everybody. And I'm like, no, you can't please. You're wrong. You know, I don't. Basically, what I'm saying is, I believe that the Freedom Fiends are now a consistently better show than Free Talk Live. I love Free Talk Live. We wouldn't be on radio without them, but I think we passed them up. Damn. Shots fired. Yeah. Nick, you got some shots to fire?
Well, jumping in about that show, Rich Paul was really, really trying to defend Rand Paul, and I thought that was kind of when he pointed out it, I decided to listen. And I was listening to it, I was like, really? Come on, I know. Guy. Rand Paul.
They're both. Everyone on that show is a minarchist. And, you know, not just because they don't use the term anarchist, but literally the Freedom Fiends are the only anarcho-capitalist radio show on radio. We are the only one. We're the only ones ethical enough. No, go on.
Rich and I have gone back and forth on that when he was here at Christmas time a couple of last year or something like that. But anyway,
I used to be a minarchist, and then I ran out of excuses.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did mini-statism. But anyway, yeah, he and I were going back and forth, and I really like Rich. He's a nice guy. But his argument involves a lot of stolen underpants.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's no step two.
Yeah,
it goes from
totally
step one, vote in the right guys. Step three, freedom. What's step two? It doesn't exist. That's what the underground, the underpants gnomes mean. It's from South Park. If people don't know, I think Adam Kokesh was the first person to use that. I think it was actually. I think he used it under talk about liberty. Step one. Step three, make money. And then there's no step two, but somehow he made it work.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I knew.
No, well, his step three was free society. But I think he filled in step two with run for president under the anarchy platform, which he still. I'm so sick of it, man. You just quit licking the government, you guys. It's really. Here's what it is, okay? Like, slavery didn't go away until enough people said, you know, well, but without the slaves, who stopped saying without the slaves, how would the cotton get picked? It doesn't matter. You just get rid of slavery and the cotton will, you know, cotton gin will be invented.
The cotton will pick itself.
As long as you guys are still looking to government, we're not going to get there. I want government so small it can drown itself in the bathtub before I'm even born. There you go.
Oh no, Rand dropped out. We have to wait 4 years for freedom.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Yep. Freedom Fiends. Hunting the hunters of the hunters of the hunters of the Nazi hunters. So how did I mispronounce the Wiesenthal, Lou?
You said Wiesenthal.
And what is it?
Properly pronounced Wiesenthal.
I love that guy, too. He's one of my favorite Jews. He's the Nazi hunter. See, I just don't like the idea that Israel just kicked all these people out and took their land. But, you know, I am sympathetic of people who were killed by Nazis. And, you know, the other day somebody tried to do Holocaust denial on me, and I just shut him down because... And he wasn't saying it didn't happen. He said it was vastly overstated. And it's like, I've literally talked to Holocaust survivors, and I don't think they're making it up. And I saw their old wormy tattoos on their arm. And when I was a kid, I talked to one that was came to our school. So, and I also, the guy was trying to tell me the earth is flat. So, you know, Why is that a thing? Why is that a thing all of a sudden, man?
Because
you're in an airplane.
Because people are full potato.
I mean, you know, I'll listen to the arguments that 9/11 was an inside job. I don't necessarily believe it, but I'll listen to it. But it makes more sense to me than the Earth is flat, because if the Earth were flat, talk radio wouldn't work because the satellites we're talking over wouldn't work.
Well, there are no satellites because reasons.
Because reasons. Because step two. Yeah.
This whole flat earther theory, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I think that there's somebody out there that's trying to get little conspiracy theories going, and they're trying to see just how ridiculous they can get and see just what kind of absolute bloody nonsense they can get people repeating. I mean, it's worse than, like, I don't know, getting back to the Constitution and voting the right people in. It's just plain old stupidity. But
yeah.
And for all these flat earthers, okay, let's say that government and NASA and just the globe manufacturers, let's say that they're all lying to us. Let's say that it is a vast conspiracy to hide the truth that the Earth really is flat. And let's say that everybody finds out that the Earth is flat, like the conspirators think that it is. Okay, so the Earth is flat. Then what? Other than throwing away globes and just going with maps?
Yeah.
What
it's a
really
pointless
changes?
Conspiracy. The only point of that conspiracy is people lie to you. You know, unlike other conspiracies, like, you know, the government is murdering people to get their will, which is, I guess, makes people want to get involved in government to change it. But really what they should be doing is dismissing government. And, you know, dismissing government, a lot of people listen to us. A lot of constitutionalists listen to the show. And I used to be one. Lou used to be one. I don't think Nick ever was one.
Nope.
The Fiend's youth.
I was never a constitution hugger.
Okay. Hugger? Liquor?
Yeah.
I was for a while.
I started out as a constitution hugger when I was 12.
Oh, okay.
Lou, you were a patriot. No, not really.
You were in the army. Why'd you join the army, Lou?
College money.
Thank you for you were a cook. You didn't see action, did you?
No, I was not deployed to Desert Storm.
You're in Germany making MREs into souffles, huh?
I can neither confirm nor deny those allegations.
Lou, I want to say thank you for your food service. But I understand constitutionalists. You do too, Nick, right? Since you were one.
Yeah.
Shush, Nick. I mean, Lou. Shush. you just came out of the womb as an anarchist. So when we say anarchist, it's not a dirty thing. We're not those commie types. We're not violent. Some of us might own guns, but most of us lost our guns in a boating accident, which is our way of saying, if you want to keep your guns, own them quietly. Mm-hmm. But so, Nick, why were you a constitutionalist when you were 12 and then you outgrew it when you were 13, when your short and curlies came in?
That was just kind of the thing I was fed. You know, I decided I was not really. It was mostly by my grandfather, I think, because he was kind of a right winger. So that was just all I knew. Was like, yeah, this guy sounds smart. He's a constitutionalist. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, it had some of the patriotic propaganda.
It sounds right.
It
sounds right. You know, I mean, as a mythology, it sounds as good as any. It sounds better than a lot of them. But, you know, it's guys died long ago and wrote things down in cursive writing on sheepskin. Buy sheep for sheep on sheep. And the politicians are supposed to get back to this and the world will be a better place. And it's like, you know what, man? The end result of that is Leroy Finnegan getting murdered by state police who will never be named or charged for it. So if you want real freedom, start looking at being your own master instead of wanting to fight over who's going to be your master. And Trump wants to take your guns, man.
I almost became a constitution licker, but then I started reading it, and I'm like, nah.
Yeah, it allows everything the government does. It doesn't stop anything. We'll be back after this trip to the market and some terrifying national news. We'll come back for hour two and explain.
Just say no to
state licking.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the road to freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Well, we're live, so you have to wait 10 seconds. That's how radio works. This is a teaching hospital. Teaching hospitals.
This is Freedom Field, broadcasting from the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite Lift Pair 2017 in the compensatory region. Freedom Beans is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the second hour, folks.
Yep.
And welcome back to Mr. WMD, Michael WD.
Yep.
And Nick Hazelton, the little punk juvenile delinquent.
Yak.
Damn. Lackey.
Damn.
What's that name that you want everybody to call you, Nick?
Go on, say it. I want to say it out loud.
I demand that I be called the dear sweet Yak Emperor.
I'm going to call you Godspeed You Yak Emperor, because there's a band with a really weird name. It's Godspeed You Black Emperor, and I'm just going to call you Godspeed You Yak Emperor. So I got some announcements while we're ignoring that we're not going to call Nick what he wants. We're just going to make fun of him. All right, so that's what happens if you tell anarchists what to do. If you tell libertarians what to do. Like, stop telling me. There's a really funny meme that I'm a fan of. It's somebody spray painted on a wall somewhere, spread anarchy, and then in different hand and color spray paint under it, it says, don't tell me what to do. I like it.
Yeah. I like the one, is somebody sitting in a fancy restaurant in England, and the waiter comes by and says, would you like tea with that, sir? And the customer says, no, thank you, my good man. And it's called Anarchy in the UK.
Yeah, because they're so polite. Let's see, I got a couple corrections and announcements. Last night, I confused the films The Lost Weekend with Days of Wine and Roses. They're both movies that I've seen that are about alcoholics. Lost Weekend is 1945, and it stars Ray Milland, who's really weird and trippy. I like that actor. Everything he does is weird and dark. Days of Wine and Roses was a 1962 film that stars Jack Lemmon and Jack Klugman, who were later the Odd Couple. It's kind of cool. It was before that, and they are the recovering alcoholic and his sponsor in this movie. And both of these films just have people just spinning out of control and getting into recovery. But in one of them, the person stays recovered, and in the other, they don't. So they're not the same film. I made that mistake last night. Also, Lou, I can hear you breathing. Stop breathing. I want to say James Babb mentioned a guy who had taken the oath of office in jail. And I thought he was kidding, but I looked this up. It was last year, Indiana city councilman charged with murder and drug charges federally takes oath of office in jail. That's just, you can't make this stuff up, man. And, yep. And then one more thing on the Nazi werewolves thing, and we'll come back to that. So there's a film I recommend every few weeks. It's the Bader-Meinhof Complex. With a K, complex, with a K. It's directed by the guy that I interviewed in the Selby movie who directed the movie Last Exit to Brooklyn. It's an amazing film, not just an important film to understand historically, but it's really well done. He's a great filmmaker. The acting's great. The writing's great. Everything's great in it. It's a hard-to-watch movie. It's really long, like 3.5 hours long, but it's about this terrorist organization that terrorized Germany for like 20 years, starting after World War II. And basically, you know, they were killing people, they were killing cops, and they were killing publishers, and they were killing capitalists, and, you know, they were Marxists, so they got everything wrong. But they were interesting in that they were kind of, other than the IRA in Ireland, they were kind of the first in Northern Ireland, they were kind of like the first Western modern, you know, internal terror group that just basically got away with it for decades. You know, they arrested the first group, and then other people who'd never met them sprang up and took on the banner. You know, it was decentralized, you know, operating in independent cells just on an ideology. Now, they learned this literally from the PLO. They went to, and they were killing people. The capitalists with a K they were killing in Germany were capitalists who'd been Nazi cap, like that they'd been Nazis. So these guys were anti-Nazi. Now here's the irony: they were so the Nazis trained the PLO, and then the PLO trained the Red Army faction, who later killed Nazis. So it goes full circle. You can't control where. That's the bottom line. But I will put that in the show notes, and I tweeted it. So if you want to start watching that now, it's on YouTube. It used to be on Netflix, but they took it down for some reason. So it's on YouTube. What do you got to say there, Lou, about your Nazi werewolves or something?
Now, there's something that you brought up, and I was going to add something very important to it, but I completely spaced it because you kept rambling. So tomorrow, okay, when I listen to the podcast of it,
you'll make notes.
I'll make notes of it, and, like, I don't know, I'll call you
next
up
week. There's no show tomorrow night. Show tomorrow night.
All right, then I'll make some notes, put them on my desk, my newly cleaned desk, and
I like it.
Yeah,
you got a girl coming. I can tell you cleaned your house really nice. So I have an idea. So Nima Vidati is going to have a BIPCOT, no government license flag to hang behind when he DJs, and I think he only does private functions. But I think it'd be really cool if Nima actually, I don't think he'd do this, but if he actually got like a government gig, like if he was DJing a government party. You know, where like the CIA and the Secret Service get together and do blow and hookers like they always do, and charge the taxpayers for it. So if Nima would, I think Nima should DJ government events, but then like put up the BIPCOT flag and just DJ with the headphones on and not put it through the speakers. You like that? You like that?
Yeah.
Or maybe just play the BIPCOT ad over on a loop, this 30-second ad on the speakers, while he just puts on headphones and DJs for himself, or maybe like feeds it streaming to the you know, to the fiends feed or something. That's my idea. All right, so we're going to talk about the unintended consequences of moral panics. So what's a moral panic, Nick?
A moral panic is a feeling of fear spread among a large number of people that some evil threatens the well-being of society.
Gay marriage.
Yes, it's a good one, actually. Muslims.
Mm-hmm. Democrats.
Yeah.
Republicans. No,
that's all of them. Right.
Basically, it's governments don't exist or have any power unless there's a moral panic to take advantage of. And the proof of that is the fact that Hitler tried to come to power. I said this yesterday. He tried to come to power when the German economy was great and nobody wanted to hear any of that radical stuff he was saying. And then the economy collapsed and all of a sudden they were looking for answers and he was it. And that's even more than a moral panic. Well, the economy collapsing is a real reason to panic. But then the moral panic was about the Jews. He blamed it on the Jews when it had nothing to do with them. It was because government that the economy collapsed, the Weimar Republic. Right, Lou?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's always the same thing.
So can you guys name some moral panics currently in society and who's pushing them? And what
the war
they get
on
out
terror
of
is a big one.
Yeah. Terror.
That's being pushed by the government.
Yeah. There is terror, but a lot of it's actually pushback to government. You know, I mean, like we said earlier, like the reason people in the Middle East are upset is because the West has been over there since, you know, 100 years ago, Lawrence of Arabia time, you know, killing people, pushing them around, pushing them off their land and acting like the police of the world. And again, I say, like, terrorists aren't good. But what would you do, Mr. American rifle owner, if a foreign government came into your neighborhood, kicked you out of your home, shot your kids, you know, killed him with a bomb from the air, from a drone, while you were at a wedding party, you crawled out and survived somehow, would you just say, okay, I'll go quietly to these camps you've set up now? No, you would take your rifle and scream the dogs of war and go in shooting anybody you could, and that's what people are doing over there. So there.
Yeah, I would hope that Americans would do that, but I think what
they won't.
What I think would likely happen is that I don't know, certain Americans would get on board and become the police, become the enforcers for the enemy occupation force. And I think the average American, and particularly the bootlicking conservatives that support the military, support
they love the cops state, too, man.
Yeah. I personally think that the only thing that they're going to fight over is a window seat on the trains to the camps.
Yeah.
And as the troops are pushing them through the cattle lines, they're going to thank them for their service.
That's because, really dire.
Because they're
bootlickers. There's exceptions. There are exceptions, but that's a lot of Americans. You know, someone was asking me, a newly minted gun user was asking me today if she should join the NRA, and I said no. And she's like, why? And I'm like, because they want us dead. You know, the NRA, they're totally pro-cop. They're totally pro-military. They're totally pro-war on drugs. They're totally anti-freedom. They wave the flag and say they love freedom, but they don't. You know, they basically, what they think gun rights are is, your right to have a licensed, registered, you know, little pea shooter in your drawer that you can't leave your house with.
So long as you obey the laws.
And your local cops to be able to use the weapons of war to go kill your neighbor for smoking a joint. That's what they want. That's not freedom, man. It's not freedom in any sense of the word. And, you know, if there's anybody listening who's like, but drugs should be bad. It's like, okay, you know what a moderate Republican is? It's a Republican who has someone dear to them who gets cancer and gets relief from smoking a joint. That's what it is.
A moderate Republican is somebody who thinks that everything should be just a little bit illegal.
Yeah. Same with a moderate Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So moral panics. So there was a big moral panic in the late 80s and early 90s. It was called the Satanic Panic. Do you guys know about this?
Not really.
There were a lot of talk shows where they were like, and Satanists and blah, 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 to the point where, like, actually those three kids, the West Memphis Three, who finally got let out of prison, like, they got thrown in prison for a murder they didn't do because, you know, some drifter came through downtown and murdered a kid, and everyone was so freaked out, the cops were like, we have to put someone in jail. So they took the three weirdos that wore black clothes and black eyeliner and listened to heavy metal music and then, like, you know, said they must be Satanists and, like, coerced confessions out of the retarded kid of the three, literally retarded, and, you know, put him in jail for it. And, like, decades later, after a lot of activists, like, who are convinced that these kids were innocent, did a lot of work on it and fundraising and hiring new attorneys and stuff, like, they finally got let out of prison. But it was an Alford plea. Like, they didn't get they still have a record. An Alford plea, I think, is what they gave Adam Kokesh, too. It's where you don't plead guilty and you don't plead innocent. You basically, like, they let you out of jail, but you promise to never sue, and you say, yes, I am admitting I didn't not maybe not do it, but I admit that there is enough evidence that they could have put me in jail at some point. It's a really twisted thing, and they made them do that to get out of prison. So the Satanic Panic, though, was like, all the talk shows, all of the people, like, everybody was flipped out, like, that Satanism was taking over America. And it really wasn't. And it was, like, made up by the media to sell papers and views on TV. And we'll have more about it and my tertiary connection to it when we get back from this trip to the market, where you'll hear moral panics and solutions that you can buy at popular prices.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
I think I'll have a handler with me when that happens.
When you get your cold out,
in case I start saying anything I should, I'm just going to stuff a cork in my mouth.
I said something when I got my colonoscopy. I came out of the twilight sedation when it was over. I was really dopey, like, And the nurse was laughing, and then the other nurse, the doctor, looked nervous. I was like, what? And they're like, as you were coming to, you ripped the IV out of your arm. And I think I said something, too. They didn't say that I said something, but they acted like I'd... I think I was like, get me out of this FEMA cap. You're not autopsying me today. You know? I think I said something like that and ripped the tube out of my arm. All right. So we're talking about moral panics.
Yeah. So wait a minute. So you had the internet hooked into your arm?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a series of tubes.
Tubes. Yep. So we're talking about moral panics. I was talking about this satanic panic, which was this just people freaking out back in the 80s. Because, you know, basically, like, people joked about being Satanists. There are very few actual Satanists. Like, even today, there's a new, like, resurgence of moral panic because there are people that basically just want to mess with square people by, like, saying they're Satanists. But most of the Satanists today, as Ian Freeman pointed out, are actually, like, agnostic or atheist, you know, humanists or something. They're not really Satanists. But, you know, and back in the 80s and 90s, like, if you listen to heavy metal or goth music and wore black clothes, I can hear you typing loud, Lou, you know, people thought you were a Satanist. So there was this thing called the Satanic Panic, which actually turned into a book and was kind of spread by this book called The Satanic Panic. I'll link it. It's on Amazon. And it's actually written by one of my college professors. I went to a couple years of community college, which is, my friend said, was like high school with ashtrays, although now they don't have it. You can't smoke it in college anyway. But it was Jamestown Community College in Jamestown, New York, which was, it was not a good college. I mean, basically, it was a good college if you want to be a nurse or a cop, but if you want to be anything else, it wasn't. And I majored in radio, and I was a DJ on the radio station playing rock and roll. And, you know, the guy that taught radio was a guy who had, like, been a DJ in the 70s. That was his qualification to teach radio. But I had this teacher, Jeffrey Victor, who taught pop culture. And he wrote this widely bought book called The Satanic Panic, which was like, I mean, he was interviewed on, like, every talk show at the time about the Satanic Panic and his book as an expert. The guy was no expert. But he was probably the worst teacher I've ever had, but he was the teacher that I would never miss a class of because he was so fun. The book is largely exaggerations and BS. This guy used to get drunk during the class. He would, and it was like an 8:30 a.m. class. I had trouble getting up for it. And he would, and it was like a 90-minute class, and he would drink booze in his coffee. He would drink Irish whiskey. Like, he would have a giant, like, quart-sized coffee cup. And one time at the, like, he used to, by the end of the class, he'd be like standing on his desk, gesticulating wildly and almost screaming. And at the beginning of the class, he'd be really, you know, kind of quiet and somber. So one time he went outside and I picked up his coffee mug and smelled it. And it was like, my nose just grimaced. It was like at least half whiskey. And he drank like, oh, you know, half a quarter of this every day. So he's drinking a pint of whiskey during every class. It was good, man. So let's talk more about moral panics, guys. Nick?
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting thing because it's very clear how it's used as a propaganda tool. Like, this is what the government does and the media does just to build their power, right? So, and it just, like, fear is something that it's so easy to control people with, right? And that's how the government exists, like we kind of brought up earlier. If you can get people to think that there's some huge issue and that the government is the only choice or the only way to prevent it, then, of course, people are going to want the government. Like, without the government, who would protect us from terrorists, right?
Yeah. And the idea of a war on terror is brilliant and evil when it comes to the people orchestrating and profiting from the war on terror. You know, there's a saying that prior to World War One, wars were started. weapons were made to fight wars, and after World War One, wars were started to sell the manufacturing of weapons, and it's kind of been true. You know, the military-industrial complex feeds off this stuff. And for a long time in my life, it was the Russians. It was the Soviets. That was the threat. But that just ended one day. And then, you know, military-industrial complex was like, what now? And they came up with something that won't end as easily. And it's basically the war on terror, because the war on terror is fed by terror. Like, basically, terror exists because it's a reaction to governments being horrible over there. And then they can just keep doing it. It just feeds itself like a snake eating its tail.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Early in the morning, and that means it's time for the farm report. So, Nick Hazelton, can you tell us about those little bacon seed piglets you got there and how they're doing and the price of pigs and farms and yaks this morning? You have yaks too. Go ahead.
Yeah, so right now we still have the same amount of yaks last time I checked, which would have been today.
They didn't spontaneously generate more yaks.
No, that's yak rustlers happens out there.
No, I don't think anybody would dare go after something with that big of horns. I really hope that they wouldn't.
Yaks.
Do not try to wrangle yaks.
Cattle rustling used to be a thing.
Yeah.
yeah, definitely. And I've never heard of anybody stealing anything out here, any animals, but that's something I kind of worry about sometimes.
Yak rustlers?
Yeah, I'm not really worried about yaks, but I'm more worried about pigs. If somebody decided, well, you know what?
Yeah.
That would be something nice to eat. I'm a little bit worried about that, but I don't.
What about
think
yak tipping? Is that a thing?
drunk
teenagers?
Yak tipping is when a yak tips you.
Yeah. You know, cow tipping really doesn't exist. It's an urban myth. You cannot easily tip a sleeping cow, and they don't always sleep on their feet either. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's an urban myth.
And cows kick sideways, so you don't want to stand on the side of them.
Drinking.
And it hurts. Like, getting kicked by one can break a bone easily. So don't try and tip cows.
So cows aren't good tippers?
No. Yeah, dang it.
I'm sorry about that. I deserve to be punished.
That'll tomorrow night. I actually saw... we'll come back to the pigs, but I was going to post this, a screenshot of it, but I felt like it would be a violation of someone's privacy, even if I etched out their username. On one of the CPAP forums I'm on, somebody said, "Can I use CPAP with my GIMP suit asking for a friend?" and then there were like four pages of, you know, sensible answers. And one conjectured the GIMP suit blowing up, you know, like the strawberry girl in the Chocolate Factory movie. But no, blueberries.
For a friend.
yeah.
Oh gosh.
All right, so Nick, tell us bacon.
Yeah, tell us about the bacon seeds. Luke.
Yeah, I just bought a couple new sows from a buddy. Same breed of hogs, American Guinea hogs. Yeah. And I'm excited to have more. Right now I have four sows. I think one's due in 2 months, another's due in a month, and then these two new ones I bought, if they have been bred, they'll be due in about 3.5 months.
Bacon.
So having a lot of pigs.
How many pigs are you up
exciting.
To?
I think I'm at like around 15 or 16 right now. I just butchered about four of them. A couple butcher. Weeks ago.
Nice.
Butcher.
Yeah.
You're not butchering them yourself yet, are you?
I have butchered... We butchered one by ourselves and my dad and I, and then we also had a friend come over. We sold her a pig, and she wanted to butcher it herself, so we helped out with that.
Nice. So like at Pork Fest, you'll put like some pigs in your carry-on luggage, and yeah. and you'll butcher them at the campsite, and we'll have fresh bacon every day.
Totally.
Mother Jones magazine will film it and just say horrible things about you.
Yeah. No, because he's a youth that's participating in, you know, the agricultural, you know, small agricultural.
Mother Jones magazine just published an article about why New Hampshire libertarians are going to ruin America, and I read an article today called in Mother Jones magazine called 7 Gun Rights Organizations That Are More Extreme Than the NRA. And I looked at the list and I'm like, yeah, 2 or 3 of these are okay, but most of them, like, I'm like, they don't go not far enough for me. So
yeah, well, I think I refer to the NRA as second only to the Democratic Party in, as far as gun control groups go.
Yeah,
because
they really are your grandpa's gun control group.
Yeah, as you mentioned, they are very pro-cop. They do a lot of, they spend a lot of money and take part in training cops quite a bit. The same cops.
Well, they were formed to train the army. Like, basically, they were formed because they felt that people in the army weren't good enough shots. The army wasn't training people well enough, and, you know, cool. But it just turned into this total status thing. I mean, literally, they write gun laws that are passed that are compromises, and their thing is, instead of fighting harder to get gun laws that, you know, have teeth to protect gun owners, they're basically like, well, what can we do that will get passed easily? That's what they do,
because compromise is nothing more than surrendering half of your rights and having your rights every single time until eventually the half that remains is so small that it's completely negligible.
Yeah, it's what I call homeopathy law.
Yeah, rather than saying, you know what, we're going to compromise and we're going to give up half of our rights and then say that we've retained the other half, I personally say, no, we're going to keep 100% of our rights. You guys are going to go Feinstein yourselves, and if you don't like it, you know, then you're going to find out, you know, what exactly, you know, you're going to get treated like redcoats.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, too, is most people that say they believe in the Second Amendment and there's a line in the sand, you know.
And they've moved that line on the sand so many times they're neck deep in the ocean.
You know, they say that there's speculation that Levi Finicum, the guy that was murdered by the Oregon State Troopers recently, I mean, they're FBI. Trying to get the witnesses to say, well, FBI was there, but the trigger was put, he was killed by State Trooper. That's fact. They've admitted that. Or at least they say that. But, everybody's saying that film shows him pulling a gun. I don't know that it does. But even if it does, I'll say this. If it does actually show that, Levi Finicum is one of the only Constitution lickers who actually knows what the Second Amendment means. Ooh,
right.
Too soon?
Well, when Jefferson wrote that part about, you know, heaven forbid 20 years should pass without a revolution, he was saying that in order to keep the government in check, you had to
kill a bunch.
You couldn't have a... How could I put this? In order to keep the government in check, every once in a while, you had to fill every tree with at least one politician, bureaucrat, cop, judge, or lawyer.
I say, like, why you want to even spill blood like that? Why even just have a government? It could be done without a lot of bloodshed.
Yeah, that's the intelligent route, but most people can't go that route because they take it as a granted, oh, there must be a master. So rather than arguing about whether we're going to have a master, let's just argue about, you know, who that master is going to be and try to get the least worst master rather than actually embracing real freedom and taking care of yourself.
Yeah, you know, when it comes down to it, too, Jefferson, and I like some of what he wrote, but a lot of people who venerate the Founding Fathers really wouldn't like Jefferson if he was around right now. Jefferson was an elitist. He was an Ivy League-y before there was Ivy League, kind of, you know, college graduate, polymath. He was smarter than you, whoever you are, and he knew it. And that's why he thought he could rule over you. Do you really want someone like that determining what you can do?
Yeah. And to top it off, when he said his little line about the Tree of Liberty being watered with the blood of patriots and tyrants alike, when he said tyrants, he was talking about the Federalists. He was talking about the people that wrote the Constitution and promoted the Constitution.
Yeah.
And if you ask the average small government Constitution licker who their favorite founding fathers are, they're going to say guys like Patrick Henry. They're going to say guys like the Anti-Federalists, who were completely 100% opposed to the ratification of the Constitution. They spoke out against it. They wrote against it. And I personally wish that they would have burned some buildings and hung some conspirators over it, but they didn't.
Damn.
And if you ask these same Constitution lickers who their least favorite foundling fathers are, they're going to say guys like Alexander Hamilton.
Well,
the ones that promoted the Constitution.
Yeah, that guy was evil. You know what the real problem is, though? You're actually giving most Constitution lovers too much credit. Most Constitution lovers consider the Founding Fathers a homogenous block. Mm-hmm. They can't tell you which one they – and if you say which one did you like the most, they'll probably say some really contradictory stuff just based on popularity contests. They probably will say Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, who were very much at odds in what they believed of how mm-hmm. a government should be set up. You know, Jefferson was very small government, and George Washington was, you know, they wanted to be king, and he turned it down. They wanted him to be king, and he turned it down, not because he was humble, but because he thought president looked better on, you know, a letterhead or something.
Well, I tell you what, until Barack Obama personally leads a large number of troops against Americans over tax protests, he's no George Washington.
I mean, really, like, the closest to the good founding fathers America has ever seen would be Ron Paul. And that guy really was my favorite government thug until he retired to the private sector to raise his grandbabies, and which is really what he should be doing, and he's good at it. And I still like when he talks.
DMCA takedowns against the website.
I hate people who just, ugh, man.
Oh, I just remembered what I was going to
He's
gonna
old, though. Does he doesn't get the internet. That's what I say.
Probably.
Yeah. Go on.
Anyway, I remember what I was going to say earlier. You're talking about the guy from Indiana who took the oath of office from his jail cell. I believe the first incident of a politician being elected or reelected from a jail cell was Congressman Matthew Lyons of Vermont. And he was reelected from his jail cell. He was fined and incarcerated for referring to fondling lawyer John Adams, president, as his rotundity under the Alien and Sedition Acts, because it was so
he called him fat and ended up good. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, there was a First Amendment then too, you know, but it didn't protect him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was so important to make sure that the French and any other outsiders could not stir up any anti-government sentiment. You know, kind of like what was going on with the colonists against the king. It was so important to not have any subversion against the new constitutional republic that it was necessary to lock people in jail for insulting either the president or the Congress.
You know, if it weren't for the Canadians, you'd be speaking Cherokee.
Ooh.
That's not my joke, but it's a good one.
And probably living under Sharia law.
Like the Simpsons that takes place in the future, where Maggie's wedding. You ever seen that one, where she marries a British guy, and maybe the night before the wedding, the British guy's out drinking at Moe's with Homer, and Homer. This takes place like way in the future, and Homer says, "If it wasn't for us, you would have lost World War II." And he says, "Yes, Homer, but if it weren't for us, you would have lost World War III." And he's like, "Okay, touche."
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to Lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Freedom Fiends.
something else.
I got some Canadian stuff.
All right, go ahead.
You told me that you guys did a whole segment the other night on the guy's jail for not having cat license.
Unregistered cat.
Yeah,
feral cat. Yeah.
So anyway, I was looking for this article, and a Canadian friend of mine sent it to me. And
you're north of Canada, right? Your part of Michigan is north of Canada.
Yeah. It's not north of all of Canada, but yeah, a fair amount of it.
Anyway, what parts of Michigan are north of Canada?
Most of it.
What cities?
The city of Detroit is technically due north of Windsor, Ontario.
Detroit is still a city? Yeah. I thought it fell into the lake.
Well, the signs are still up. They haven't been taken to the recycle yet.
They're still taxing people, but they're not offering any services. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the Welcome to Detroit signs, those are still up because recyclers haven't taken those signs down yet. But
Nobody stole them and sold them on eBay because nobody has internet there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, anyway, but Detroit is due north of Windsor, Ontario. So anyway, the article here was talking about the guy who got arrested for the cat licensing. So I'm doing a Google search because somebody sent it to me, and it was a mobile app link, and it wasn't supported on my laptop. But anyway, so I do the Google search. Man jailed over unpaid cat fines surrenders. Ah. Google asked, did you mean man jailed over unpaid car fines surrenders? So even Google thinks there's something hanky with being arrested for unpaid cat fines. But all right, so some of the other articles that we have here, 79-year-old found guilty of not filling out census. Self-described pacifist had no lawful reason for refusing census. Gets conditional discharge. And this is from the CBC, it looks like. But anyway,
I've been interviewed on the CBC radio. I have video of me being interviewed on a CBC radio. But it's nice. Canadian. It's the state-run media. It's their BBC. Yeah. It's square.
A 79-year-old Toronto woman taken to court over her refusal to fill out the mandatory census declared she had no regrets Wednesday despite being found guilty of violating the Statistics Act. Dun, 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 dun. Wow. Janet Chernin was handed a conditional discharge, which means she will have no permanent criminal record after she completes her sentence of 50 hours of community service within a year. Wow. Chernin will remain on probation until her community service is complete. That's scofflaw. Until she pays her debt to society. But the former social worker said she thought she received a fair judgment. And this is where it gets sad. I'm glad I managed to get my point across, and I do feel sort of satisfied with the decision, the soft-spoken senior said outside court. I did break the law, but I think I had every reason to, and I suppose the judge is right. There's always consequences to your actions. Oh my God!
Wow!
You know what? Those who use the Underground Railroad to escape to freedom—they were breaking the law too.
I know.
I have absolutely no idea what it is about this thing called the law, that people think that they have to just bow down and submit and obey, like the law is some holy spiritual entity. It's like words carved on stone tablets brought down from the mountaintop. No, it's the opinions and declarations of a bunch of idiot politicians that you regularly make fun of. You're like, my God, you better obey the declarations of those politicians that I call idiots, or else you're a bad person. Oh, my God.
You know, the fact that she said she thought she got treated fairly, you know, why does that happen so often? Like, I'm sure sometimes they make you say it. I think the Fed, as soon as the guy got arrested for the occupation in Oregon, through his lawyer, he said he wants everyone to leave the occupation. And the guys he was defending who burned the thing down, through their lawyer, said, we want to end the occupation. No, man. And the guy's wife even said, you know, he wouldn't say that. So, but I think that sometimes the lawyer says, you know, you need to be contrite and that'll go a long way. And it's kind of like, that's not a real apology, man. When someone holds you down and punches you in the face and says apologize or threatens to, that's not a real apology. It's not a real amends. There's nothing like about restorative anything about it. You're just having the biggest bully in the world threaten to beat you up and take your family and take your money and throw you in a cage until you say, I'm sorry.
Well, have some balls, people. You're also eliminating the possibility that the government has the person's family held at gunpoint, too. And maybe
have some vagina, people.
So, it was a pleasure doing the show with you guys. Michael, yeah. Nick,
yeah,
and Nick. Thank you to all the listeners. For more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.
Yep.